You know, we have heard about this, that men should get out of this cycle of life and birth. Can you throw some light on that?
So, putting an end to the cycle of birth and death, I always insist that you don't believe anything that is not yet your experience. It doesn't matter who says it. This does not mean disbelief. No, you don't know, that's all. Somebody tells you a story, you don't know whether it's true or it's not true. So even if I say something, don't believe this nonsense. But don't disbelieve it either. Just say, somebody is willing to sit in front of this many people and talk absolute nonsense, something that is totally absurd. Let me see what this is about. If you keep that much openness, the possibility is alive in your life. If you believe it, you'll kill it. If you disbelieve it, you'll kill it. You understand? Death exists. Have you ever died anyway? Did you ever die? No. Did you ever see a dead man? You did. Where, Pujan? Where did you see a dead man? Funeral, you saw dead men? Dead bodies you saw. Did you see a dead man? Did you? No, you did not see a dead man. You haven't experienced it. You haven't seen it. Or did you meet anybody who died and came back and told you, I died like this? No. You haven't died. You haven't seen one, nor have you met one. So from where the hell did you get this idea that you will die? Death is a fiction that too many people talked and made you believe. There is no such thing as death. There is only life, life and life alone, moving from one dimension to another, another dimension to another. So, when the physical body becomes too feeble or breaks up for some reason, either you crashed your car, or you drank too much and broke your liver, or you fell out of love and broke your heart, or you just became too old and feeble. When the body becomes unsuitable to sustain life for some reason, something is broken or something has become too weak to sustain. When the body becomes unsuitable to sustain life, life has to move on. So it does. So when you say somebody is no more, you're only saying they're no more with us. You're not saying they're no more, really no more. They're just no more with you, the way you knew them. So, when one leaves the body for whatever reason, the fundamental reason is the physical body has become unsuitable to sustain and nourish life. When this happens, what will happen to that being? The physical body and the conscious mind goes. The discriminatory aspect of his mind is gone, but the content of his mind is not gone. You understand what I'm saying? The discriminatory choices are gone, but the content of his mind is not gone. So he still has the qualities, but he has no discrimination. So one thing that you need to understand is, when somebody dies, as you know death today, it doesn't matter, he happens to be your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, your child, how dear a friend he was, it doesn't matter. The moment he leaves the body, he's got nothing to do with you. Because everything that he knew about you is physical, isn't it? When I say physical, not just of the body, of the mind and emotion. All that you know about that person and all that that person knows about you is either physical body or mind or emotion. All these things belong to the sphere of the physical. So when he leaves the physical, all the things are gone and there is nothing like me and my father, dead father. Once he's dead, he's not your father. He's over. So now, once the discriminatory mind is gone, he will only proceed according to his tendencies. This is the reason in India so much significance is given as to how a person dies, so that we can set up some kind of orientation to the tendencies with which he will flow. It doesn't matter how he lived, when the last moment comes, we'll say Ram Naam and this one and that one, whatever people know. But fundamentally the idea is to create some sense of awareness that he doesn't die in fear and greed and whatever else. Because that final moment of transition tends to become his quality in a big way. It becomes one of the major tendencies of his further progression. You can try this with your sleep tonight. That final moment when you're moving from wakefulness to sleep, that final moment when you're transiting from wakefulness to sleep, that last moment, if you can simply be aware, say if you can, but you will see, if you try to be aware, you will be awake. Only when you lose your awareness, you will fall asleep. If you can manage awareness, something tremendous will happen. If that is not possible, at least try to bring some quality to the last few moments of your falling asleep. Let's say you make it very loving within yourself, or you make it very happy within yourself. You will see that quality will continue through the sleep, always. If you can bring that some quality to the last moment of transition from wakefulness to sleep, that quality will continue. That's exactly what will happen with death also. If the final moment a certain quality is brought in, then that quality will continue. It is because of this understanding. You know, in India when people want to die, they don't want to die in Mumbai, they want to go to Varanasi and die. You know, still people go. There used to be a major, Varanasi is a death place. People used to go there, in lakhs of people used to go there just to wait and die. Because for centuries this has been one place which was concentrated with any number of enlightened beings. Not anymore. But it used to be a center. So people thought if they go there and die, there was always help coming. They could die in the right kind of condition. So, this cycle, suppose the body broke because of some reason, the life energy is still vibrant. When the life energies are still vibrant, if the body breaks, either because you shot yourself, or you crashed yourself, or you drank yourself to death, or whatever, your life energies did not become feeble. They're still vibrant, but the body broke for some reason. Now, this being will have a long transition, because the vibrancy of the energy is still there, it has to wear itself out. There is something called as prarabdha. Oh, you heard of what's prarabdha? Prarabdha means it's the allotted karma for one lifetime. Because the stock that you have, if all of it comes into one life, you can't live. You have a warehouse. This warehouse is referred to as sanchita. You can't handle the warehouse of karma. So a retail stock is been given to you to dispense in this life. But generally most people gather more new stock than getting rid of the old stock. In the process of getting rid of this much stock, they gather that much. So it goes on and on and on. Because of this, a certain vibrancy is there in life energy. Unless it becomes feeble, he cannot find another body. If you have to leave this body, your energy should become feeble. If you have to enter another body, your energies have to become feeble. This is what is referred to as samadhi, where you consciously lower the intensity of your life energy, you become so feeble that you can slip out of your body if you wish. And you can slip into something else because your energies have become so feeble. They don't have the vibrance of normal existence. This could go on and on and on, simply because, not because you are under some punishment or reward. It is just nature, just finding its own cycle. So when certain awareness arises within you, not because you read something, somewhere you began to feel the meaninglessness of the cycle. It's all nice, we're enjoying it. But just going on and on and on doesn't make sense. When that awareness comes, that is when you start talking about mukti. Mukti means you want to become free from the process of life and death. Not because you're suffering. Suffering people cannot attain mukti. You are fine, you are joyful, but you have had enough of the kindergarten, you want to move on. However beautiful your school life was, don't you want to go to college? Yes, that's all. You have seen enough of it. Now you want to move on. So, this being, whatever you call as this, me right now, you can… I always use negative terminology so that your imaginations don't fly away. So let's say your emptiness or your darkness, because if I say light, then you'll not start shining all over the place. If I say God, then you'll start doing funny things. This empty darkness that you are, you can't imagine much about darkness, isn't it? You wouldn't like to talk to anybody, I'm darkness. But if I say you're light, immediately you would like to go and tell your neighbor, I'm divine light. So we always use negative terminology so that your imagination doesn't fly off and become, make you very hallucinatory. So this empty space within you is like a bubble. Karma is the wall of the bubble. Without karmic substance, you have no existence. Karma is not your enemy. It's only because of karmic substance you are glued to the body. If all your karma is removed, you cannot be held in the body. So it is a bubble. Even though you slip out of the physical body, this bubble is on. And once it loses its vibrance, it will find another body, naturally. So we want to prick the bubble right now. When you say, I want mukti, what you're saying is, you want to prick the bubble in such a way that this emptiness which is enclosed within the bubble bursts and… Let's say we blow bubbles here now, lots of bubbles. But the moment they burst, the air inside the bubble, where did it go? It's become part of everything. So, mukti means just that. Enlightenment also means the same thing. If you are not aware of this already, for most beings their moment of enlightenment and their moment of leaving the body is always same. Just a few who know the tricks of the body, who know the fundamental mechanics of the body, manage to retain the body for a certain period of time. Otherwise, moment of enlightenment and moment of leaving the body is same. If the life energies become overly intense, you cannot keep the body. If the life energies become feeble, you cannot keep the body. Only if it's in a certain, you know, band of intensity, you can hold on to the body. If you raise the intensity beyond a certain pitch, you will leave. If you drop it below a certain thing, you will leave. So these are the two types of yoga that you see in the world. One is withdrawing, 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 so that you become feeble, 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 so that you can go. Another is revving up, revving up, revving up, revving up to a high pitch, so that intensity is so much, the physical cannot hold you anymore. So both the ways, if it becomes too intense or too feeble, the physical cannot hold you anymore. So two types of yogas are being done, some to become feeble, some to become intense. Socially, the intense thing may be more appreciated, but it doesn't mean anything. What somebody thinks of you has no existential relevance, has some social relevance. But existentially, what the world thinks about you or what you think about yourself above all has no relevance at all. When you say spirituality, you are saying how to progress existentially, not socially, not psychologically, not emotionally. You want to progress on the existential level, you want to go somewhere really. Because your emotion, your society, your psychology is all just pure imagination. Yes? Yes, sir? You don't like it, is it? Isn't it so? Maybe sometimes pleasant imagination, but still imagination, isn't it? So, the progression of a being beyond his body is not dependent upon who he was in the world, what he thought of himself, what everybody thought of himself, what everybody thought of him. It simply depends on how conscious he is, what he has generated beyond the physical within himself. So if one wants to really become free from the whole process, there are many methods to go near to that. But ultimately, if one bursts the bubble, because you can do conscious action only when you're in the body. Once you leave the body, there is no conscious action because discriminatory aspect of the intellect is taken away from you. Why human birth is considered so valuable is mainly because of this. Only in this one birth, being a human being, you can use your discrimination and act consciously. It doesn't matter what kind of life you have lived till now. This moment, you can still act consciously, isn't it? Yes? You have lived a most horrible life. It doesn't matter. This moment, you can still act consciously. That freedom and that discretion is always with you. So if this consciousness arises, or a certain intensity is picked up, or if an intensity is dropped beyond a certain point, you become unsuitable for living in the body. When that situation arises, there are possibilities for you to break the bubble completely. If you want to break the bubble and still retain the body, then you need engineering. You need to know all the tricks. Or you have to do some conscious karma to retain the body. Any number of things that people do. I don't wish to speak about myself because so many things are happening with me. For example, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, a fantastic human being, a very crystallized consciousness. During all his own lifetime, people saw him godlike. But Ramakrishna was mad about food. Do you know this? He was insane about food. Now he will be talking to his disciples and say, please wait. He will go to the kitchen and ask Sharada, what's cooking today? He was just madly taken by food. Sharada felt so ashamed of him. Why are you like this? I am not concerned about food. We see you godlike and you are crazy about food. What is this? He would say, so it's okay, but what's cooking? One particular day she was so ashamed of him and she became angry. She became angry and angry words flew out of her. Then Ramakrishna said, the day you bring the thali one day, he always, you know, that part of the country, it's pre-served plate. Here also you eat in the thali? Okay. Especially in Bengal, the thali is so big and it's all pre-served. and he always sat on a swing and ate his food. So he said, when you bring the thali on a certain day, if I show no interest in the food, you must know there are only 3 more days left. This is 6 years later. She took the food to him and he turned away. Suddenly she remembered and she broke down and cried. He said, there's no point crying now, time is up. He was using food as a conscious karma to create a desire. Conscious desire every day, at least 10 times a day, he has to think of food to keep the body going. Otherwise, if he sits here like this, he will leave the body. He's planned out some work for himself. So he wants to hold on to the body for some more time. Like this, different yogis create different methods. Some are simple, some are very complex, various kinds of processes. Once the bubble is gone and you're just keeping it consciously there, in many ways you're existentially not on account.
You described the various kinds of bodies,
mm-hmm.
and then you said there is a transition body and then there's an energy body.
Energy body and then a transition. You don't create it, it's there. Generally in English it is referred to as the etheric body. You know, people are talking about ether. You know what's ether? Not Easter, ether. Ether is a non-physical. Generally it's assumed as non-physical. It is not totally non-physical. It is a transition between physical and non-physical. What is non-physical is never in your perception, unless you become that. What is physical can be brought into your perception. It's just a question of time and work to get everything that is physical in the existence into your perception. It is possible. If you do the necessary sadhana, all that is physical in the existence can be brought into your perception. It cannot be outside your perception. It's possible to do that. What is non-physical will not come into your perception. You have to dissolve into it. There is no other way. This is why all this talk about surrendering to God is simply because what they are trying to tell you is that which is beyond the physical cannot be grasped. You have to give in. There is no other way. It's because of that, this talk and all this distortion about surrender. Because that which is beyond the physical cannot be grasped by you in any way. You can only merge with it, you can only dissolve into it. The word surrender is not the right word, but that's been commonly in usage. So this dimension, which is a transition between physical and non-physical, can also be grasped to some extent. So it is not that you create it, it is there. This is way back, many, many years ago. I was just painting my farm building. And I wanted to evolve easier ways of painting. I don't have the time because I'm doing it single-handedly, I'm painting the whole farm building. So I don't have the time to go like this. So what I do, I dip and just walk from one end to another. And I dip and walk from one end to another. So first smear I dipped and walked. Here it came out thick. As it went, it became thinner, 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 thinner and disappeared. I just sat there and it just blew my mind totally, because the whole existence was right there for me. This is all the existence is. Something is gross, it becomes subtler, 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 and it becomes non-material. When it becomes non-material, you call it divine. Very gross, you call it rock or matter. In between there are many levels of subtleness or grossness. That's all existences. So that point where the paint is very thin is what you're talking about.
Is there a way to explore past lives?
I know a lot of absolutely ridiculous things that are going on in Bombay about exploring one's past lives. Meher, you did. They're just ridiculous psychological exercises. If you really want to see something of the past, you must be able to raise yourself into very heightened levels of awareness where it'll cut through the memory lines. But what's the point? Right now, what has happened in this life, you're not able to handle the memory. What happened 10 years ago, you suffer. When you're in this condition, if you remember 10 lifetimes ago, it'll drive you nuts, isn't it? So there is no point. But at the same time, there are, whatever you call as past life is just unconscious layers of the mind in terms of memory. If you bring yourself to heightened levels of awareness, these unconscious layers of the mind which are ruling you from within could be broken down, could be dissolved. I don't know if they showed you, did they show you some clippings of Samyama meditation? They did? Okay. It's an 8-day program where we do. It's a very intense process. I think yesterday also we spoke something about this. You will see what happens, as I said yesterday, if I tell you what happens in Samyama, fear will come or disbelief will come. Let's say you're sitting and meditating. After some time, you're fully conscious, but suddenly you find your body is beginning to crawl around like a snake. You know it is happening, you want to stop it, but the body is just crawling like a snake. You come out of meditation, you're perfectly normal. You sit for meditation, it crawls. Then maybe it hops around like a bird, maybe it goes around like a dog or a tiger or something, many forms it may take. Why this is happening is, in the unconscious layer through the mind, there are so many dimensions which are not in your excess, but which are influencing everything that you do. So if you go through a process where with the heightened levels of awareness, you bring unconscious layers of the mind into conscious states, not in terms of memory, but in terms of energy and experience, you can work these things out and leave yourself completely free in a big way within yourself. In that context, it is relevant. But remembering something, memory-wise, is not of any consequence. It'll only complicate and mess up your life. Suppose you realized your neighbor's dog was in your previous life, was your husband. Then you'll start throwing stones at your neighbor's dog. I don't know, whether you'll go and kiss him or you'll throw stones at him. Both ways it's dangerous, isn't it? Because he doesn't remember. You're throwing stones at him, you'll get into trouble with the neighbor. If you want to kiss him, you'll get in trouble with the dog. So, it's not safe for you. It's not necessary for you. But on a different plane, if you can bring it into your experience without going through the memory process, then it becomes a way of liberating yourself in a certain way. Samyama is a very, what we do is known as karma samyama. There are various types of samyamas, that's why it's karma samyama, where layers and layers of past unconscious mind will just come up and work itself out if you move to a certain level of intense awareness. No suggestions are given to you, no guidance is given to you. Just as you become more aware, suddenly you see the whole body goes through. See, what happens in the mind is never trustworthy. Mind can deceive you in a million different ways. But what happens in the body is real, isn't it? Yes?
Has your body ever lied to you?
Your mind has lied to you a million times, isn't it so? Body has never lied to you. So that's why we always want these things to happen physiologically, energy-wise, not on the level of the mind, because mind is capable of unlimited hallucination. It can create anything and make you believe it's real. These things are being done in such unscrupulous ways. A lady, she's now in the United States for many years. They made it very big in the United States. At one time, on a particular year, this couple earned the maximum amount on the share market. They were the biggest earners on the share market on that particular year. So you can imagine, in the United States, the biggest earner per particular year means what they would have earned. Okay. Big money they got into. And she's gotten into this whole thing that now she's mad about this, all this Hollywood stuff and all this. She's got homes, a couple of homes in Beverly Hills and here, there, everything just to be around there in the scene. And she's gotten hooked onto a psychic who charges $90 per hour consultation on the telephone. In person it is more. So this psychic has been telling this lady, which this lady firmly, firmly believes. So the psychic told her that in your previous life, Tom Cruise was your husband. Richard Gere was your father. So you just have to be around. They will notice you today or tomorrow. So the husband is going nuts. Because the woman is trying to somehow fall into the eyes of Tom Cruise, throwing parties and buying homes around the place. The husband is just going crazy. Then it came to my notice. So somehow this lady landed up with me and she's 100% sure that in her previous life Tom Cruise was her husband. I knew she's strong on that, so I said, okay, it must have been. But I also knew Tom Cruise in his last life. He was one of the ugliest human beings in his last life, do you know? Huh? She never imagined that he could have a different body. She thought he would be just like that. So I said, I knew him very well in the past life. And he was so ugly, unbearably, do you remember? She just went crazy. So this is what past life stuff is doing to people, driving them crazy and, you know, all kinds of fanciful things. That's not the purpose.
Guruji, can you touch about on the topic of ojas that you had bought?
See, the physical body. One of the three main processes which must happen to keep the physical body going is respiration, ingestion and excretion. Yes? As long as these three things are happening, you have no thought, you have no emotion, you have no this, you have no that, but you can still go on, isn't it? No meditation, you can still go on. But respiration, ingestion, excretion must happen. These are three vital activities which needs to happen to keep the physical body going. So all these three things are mainly assisting in converting one form of physical matter into another. See, for example, agriculture. Agriculture means what? You make mud into food. Digestion. You make food into flesh and shit. Yes. So these are all different processes where you're converting one form of physical existence into another. You eat a carrot, you make it into a human being. Tremendous job, isn't it? Eating is not a simple thing. Yes or no? You eat a simple
vegetable and you transform it into a human being, if it goes by the evolutionary scale, it must take 10 million years. In one afternoon, you're doing it. It's not a small phenomenon. Without understanding the significance and the miracle of what you're doing, you're going on. But if you understand, and if you really experience the miracle that you are converting simple things like water and food into a human possibility, it's a tremendous job that you're doing, isn't it? So, always converting one form of physical into another is a natural process which is happening in you. Now, this is nature. If you go by the laws of nature, if you go by the laws of physical nature, let me identify it that way, then naturally self-preservation is the main instinct and the main process. So all these three things of respiration, ingestion, excretion also connected with self-preservation. If self-preservation is happening well, then the next immediate thing that the physical existence demands is procreation. But that is also self-preservation. Preservation of the race, isn't it? So even procreation can be merged as self-preservation, secondary level of self-preservation. But all of it, the physical knows only self-preservation, nothing else but self-preservation, and it's good. If the physical did not have any sense of self-preservation, then you wouldn't exist. Now, you want to cater to a higher dimension within you. There's another part of nature in you which wants to expand, which wants to become something else, which is not willing to settle for the limited. It wants to become boundless. The boundary is always of the physical. Physical means always between two boundaries, isn't it? Bigger, small, it doesn't matter. Always between two boundaries. Non-physical means no boundaries. So moving from the physical to non-physical also means moving from the bound to the boundless. So to move from bound to boundless, you don't have a vehicle. Right now all that you have is physical. So you're trying to create a vehicle for yourself which is non-physical but can still retain a certain form. So Ojas is that dimension where you generate a non-physical energy but still it has its own individual form. So that is used as a vehicle. If you create sufficient Ojas around you, your passage in this existence is well lubricated. You will see, life happens effortlessly for you. Wherever you go, you move smoothly. So much turmoil may be happening around you. Everybody is going through everything. But somehow your passage is always clear. You keep going. Once you're like this, you can take violent risks in your life. You know, recklessly you can live. At least other people think you're reckless, but you know where you're going, so there is no hassle about it. One can live in such a way that other people think is superhuman simply because you have a well-rounded Ojas hanging around you. Your passage is well lubricated in the existence. In the Far Eastern cultures, an enlightened being is referred to as an Enchi. An Enchi means a circle. Why they're referring to him as a circle is, circle is a shape of least resistance. Why your car wheels or motorcycle wheels are circular, not a rectangle or a triangle? Can you imagine how you would ride on a square wheels? Why it is circle is because it's of least resistance. Any moving part anywhere is circle because it's of least resistance. So if you create sufficient Ojas around you, you become circular. Not in body, please don't. In your existence you become circular so that your passage is with least resistance through the existence. So Ojas creates this possibility.
will make you successful. Aspiration is just an initial starting point. Just because you aspire for success, just because you aspire for prosperity, just because you aspire for well-being, it doesn't happen.
Ability to be informed. It is because we are capable of making ourselves informed about various things. Many beautiful things have happened in our lives, many. The very basis of civilization.